Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
I have a great message prepared for this morning, but it's not the one I'm going to preach. So here I go, and I was aware of this most of the morning and kind of wrestled which direction to go. Sometimes, and it's not a spooky thing, it's not like I've got a hotline to heaven that nobody else has. That's not it. But I want to be led by the Holy Spirit of God in accordance with the Word of God, not just emotions. That's not what it is. And I do believe, because I wrestled against this for a while, that God wants me to kind of change directions this morning. I want to help somebody that's here. I want somebody whose head is hanging low this morning. Somebody who's got the weight of the world on their shoulders and they're thinking about giving up. I want to help you this morning. We're going to go to the book of John. If you turn there, I've got a poem that was written, I think, at the end of the 1800s by Albert Guest. You are probably familiar with the poem. It says, "When things go wrong as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when funds are low and debts are high," we've been there, right? "And you want to smile, but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but friend, don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with one more blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup, and he learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it just seems afar. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit." Amen. My dad, even though it was before he was born again through much of it, without knowing it, taught me how to persevere, how to never quit, how to finish a job. Dad's been in heaven for a little bit now, and he's still my hero. And I try not to over-legendize his memory, but man, he was real. And he never let me quit anything in my whole life. Never. When I was under his house, his roof, I mean, under his house once in a while too. When I was under his roof, he didn't even let me quit Little League when I wanted to quit Little League, because the summer got long and there were other things that I wanted to do. He taught me, when you start something, you weigh the cost ahead of time, but when you start it, you see it all the way through. Jesus said in Luke in chapter 9 and verse 62, "No man having putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says, "We're to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." I want to encourage you this morning. And it might just be one person, but it's here for all of us. The Word of God, of course, is for all of us. And it might be just one person that's a little bit discouraged this morning. Boy, let me help you. Let me start because I'm not really sure where this message is going, because of I don't have a real good outline here. I just have a text, and God, the Holy Spirit, even right here when I was kneeling down this morning and praying, God, the Holy Spirit kept saying, "John 15, man, John 15, John 15." And you're familiar with the text. It's about abiding with Christ. Before we get to it, and I exegete a little bit of the scripture here this morning, just by way of illustration, and I'll probably remember some details and not remember others because I'm not really real prepared, but I do know it was April of 1975. Some of you have maybe heard this story. It's been a few years, but you've heard this story. Just bear with me. I might change some of it, so it might be good. Might be even better than what it was. 1975, April, I boxed for the Sioux Boxing Club. It had just gotten started again after its glory days about a decade and a half prior to that and hadn't been in existence for some time in that stretch in between. So I went up there. I was all done with high school sports for the most part. And I decided, I used to fight in tournaments. Dad had entered me in boxing tournaments at the other end of the UP. I have some great memories. And I actually won a whole lot of fights over there. And so I thought, I'm going to go up here. So I went up there, Sioux Boxing Club. I ended up being their representative for the light heavyweight. Just fast forward to everything, forget details. Hedgecock Fieldhouse, I think that's the name of it, up in Marquette, Michigan. CJIC is up there. The television station from Sioux, Ontario. Of course, WLUC, the television station from Marquette. And it's the USA versus Canada boxing. Remember when that was real big on TV? And for some reason, somehow, we got into some of those bouts on the card. I was supposed to fight, and the guy I was supposed to fight, something happened. Got injured or something. Heard he was going to fight and chickened out. At any rate, he didn't show up. I was told just before, no fight. Now, let me backtrack real quick, all right? I'll speed this up. We're going into the Hedgecock Fieldhouse to get weighed in. This is the morning of the fight. Got to weigh in. It's Golden Glove Boxing, you know, and they have all kinds of regulations that way. We're going in. I'm walking with another guy who is a light heavyweight from the Sioux. His name's Dusty. I don't remember his last name. Might be somewhere in the Sioux right now. We're walking in. He's a little bigger than me. We're walking in. Leaning against the building is a man with more hair on his chest than I have had on my head at that time, all right? He had a varsity jacket on, leather sleeves, and they're shoved up like this. His arms were bigger than my legs. What I remember is his lips were huge. He had a 5 o'clock shadow everywhere, and he was a monster. And Dusty laughed and said, "Just think if we had to fight somebody like that." And we both laughed. That laugh is etched in my memory forever. That afternoon, I found out no fight. We were staying at the Holiday Inn. And we go out to eat on the city's dime. I had 3 pieces of banana cream pie at the end of dinner. Man, I just filled up. Man, the city's paying for it. I'm not fighting. This is wonderful. And we're sitting about the third row. The ring's in the middle. The place is packed. I mean, it's just vibrating with noise. And a boxing crowd is not a godly crowd, all right? So the place is packed. The television, it's dark everywhere except in the ring. I'm watching a light heavyweight fight, and I'm telling you the truth, I could have beat both of them. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying, I know I could have beat them. They just did not look that hardened to me. And I'm thinking, man, and we're bragging. I'm telling Dusty, man, I could have beat these guys. Oh, man, if I was only fighting. About that time, I hear, psst, psst, and it's Mr. Itram. He was the trainer, Mr. Kuton, Mr. Itram. And he said, Timmy, I got a fight for you. And I said, I was right in the mid-sentence of bragging how I was going to beat this guy. I said, what? He said, I got to fight for you. And I stumbled over people's feet. And there's about 25 people between me and him all the way out. And I finally get there. I said, who am I going to fight? And he said, it doesn't matter. That's not a good thing. We go back up to the locker room. Taping my fingers, getting me all ready. Man, I feel good. You know, yeah. When you fight in those tournaments, you fight with 10-ounce gloves. And you spar with like 16-ounce gloves, so you feel like you're grease lightning. Man, I feel good. I got the green silks on, the green shorts, emerald green. I'm ready to go. Sioux Boxing Club across the back of my back. I'm the only guy fighting from the Sioux, so I'm the representative, and this is gonna be great. Who am I fighting, coach? Doesn't matter. I said, oh. And just before we leave, they carry a black guy, in on a stretcher with his shoulder dislocated. And he says these words as I'm going out of the locker room. My mama told me not to play this game. You know, and I get out. I'm right up the top of the bleachers. We're walking down. I'm trying not to stumble. That's what I'm trying not to do, because there's a spotlight on us while we're walking down the stairway, working our way down to the main floor, down where the ring is. Get to the ring, and there's 4 or 5 steps up to the ring. And so I'm climbing up the steps. Mr. Itram's up there in front of me. He spreads the ropes apart. I ask him again, who am I fighting? And he wouldn't tell me. And I step through the ring just like this. One foot in the ring, 1 foot out. I looked across the ring. And it's that guy that was leaning against the building, coming between the ropes on the other side. We got out there. Mr. Itram says, listen, I wouldn't put you in here if I didn't think you could beat him. He's 24 years old. I'm 18. He's a club boxer, a seasoned tournament fighter. This guy's been around. He is in his senior year at Northern Michigan University, so all the college guys are there hooting and hollering, and the place is just rumbling. He's the hometown boy. The bell rings, and I went out there, and I threw a jab at him, and I hit him, and I remember thinking, I can hit this guy. And then leather started from every direction. I'm not a Bob. I was never a Bob and Weave kind of boxer. I was the kind of guy, I think I got this, I'm not sure, maybe I got this from my mom. Maybe it was my mom. Maybe. But I had that German Jew tenacity. You hit me once, I'm going to hit you twice, and I'm going to hit you harder both times. And so we went toe to toe in the middle of the ring. The crowd is going nuts. We actually, both of us got trophies at the end of the tournament for the Keep On Slugging Award. Because it was, and I was getting hit from every direction. Bell rings. I'm already more tired than I've ever been in my life. I'm serious. I go back to the corner. They don't have a chair for you to sit in. They got a stool that's about this tall. So your knees are up by your up at your ears. They're trying to pour water down my throat. I don't want water down my throat. I want air. That's all I want, you know. And Mr. Eichram says, listen, I've seen this guy fight. You can set him up. You can hit him with the overhand right. I'm going to try anything. I'm desperate now, all right? So he comes running across the ring. That's how I fight. That's how I'm supposed to do it. What I'm supposed to do. So we meet in the middle. I throw a left, and I come with an overhand right and hit him while he's moving towards me right on the end of his chin. And I remember to this day, it was like slow motion. His gloves are like this. His mouth is open. His eyes roll back, and he's falling backwards. In my mind, in slow motion, he's going back. He lands flat on his back. I go over to the neutral corner, and I'm praying, God, don't let him get up. God, don't let him get up. And he got up. He's mad. And so we go at it again. He pushed me down. He never knocked me down. He pushed me down, and you get up, and when you get up in boxing, this is the way it is. Your hands are up. You're telling the ref, I'm okay. You're telling the other guy, that didn't hurt, you know? So I got my hands up. I said, that's okay. He pushed me. He said, I know, son. I know. So we went back at it. We finished the second round. Third round, after the little ordeal on the stool, I honestly did not know if I was going to get my hands up. I was that tired. I thought, now I'm going to walk out to the middle of the ring, and he's just going to start punching me, but he's not going to knock me down, you know? And I got my hands up, and the place is going quiet. And at the end, when the final bell, you know, rings, we go back to our corners. This crowd's throwing empty beer cans in the ring. Man, they're just so pumped up, and it was a bloodbath. Both my eyes, Debbie would testify to this, were swelled completely shut, completely. That night, I threw up all night long. Never got a win. I pushed my body probably farther than it ever should have been pushed. By the way, I came in second place in that fight. The referee said, I voted for you, boy. Voted for you, son. I remember those words because I took it to heart. He said, you should have won that fight, but there's three judges, and he won 2-1. But I never quit. I wanted to quit. It had been wonderful just to turn around when I saw who was getting in the other side of the ring. It had been wonderful to just say after the first round, throw the towel in, coach, I'm done. But it ain't going to happen. I'd have to face my dad. I'd have to face my mama. And there's just no way. You might feel like quitting this morning. I want to get to a text of scripture where Jesus instructed his disciples. This is between the Last Supper and Gethsemane. The Lord Jesus knows exactly what he's going to face. He's going to have the sin of the world on his shoulders. He's going to face a beating like no man has ever known. The prophet Isaiah said his visage was marred more than any man. You understand, he was going to the cross of Calvary after taking the beating. He was going to hang for 6 hours. He was going to dismiss his spirit, and then he was going to rise from the grave victorious. But before that happens, he's going to take a beating. He did it for me. And he did it for you. And he never quit on me. And he never quit on you. And what I'm telling you this morning is, don't quit on God. Don't turn your back on God. There's so much softness in the world today. There's so much softness in America. I'm not saying everybody, but there's so much softness in the Church of Jesus Christ where everything's got to be fuzzy and warm all of the time. Where are the soldiers? Where are the people that are going to be up front? Where are the guys and the women that are going to lead in the spiritual battle in which we fight? As children of God, I'm telling you, don't quit on God. Go to John chapter 15. Let me read just a little bit. He says, I am the true vine. By the way, you can count on God. You can count on Christ. There's a lot of false shepherds, but he's the true vine. That's word, that's right from his lips, from the very Son of God. He said, you can count on me. I am the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. There's several things here, and there's we want here at Fundamental Baptist Church stability. We want here at Fundamental Baptist Church the old ship Zion that rides out the storm, that rides out the waves. There needs to be stability here from top to bottom. But that stability isn't going to be found in fragile man. That's the problem. And we still all have that old fallen nature. So we have our ups and downs and our ins and outs. But listen, our only hope is Jesus, just like the choir sang this morning. He is our lifeline. He is the very source of life. I'm told, and I read just this morning, the average stay for a pastor in a church is between 24 and 36 months. That's shocking. That's here and gone. No wonder churches are hurting. You know, Pastor Bill has been here for 31 years pastoring. The kid pastor here, Pastor Josh, he's been here for 23 years. Our kid pastor is how old? Where are you at, Josh? 40 what? Our kid pastor is 42. The senior pastor is 49? Is that what he is? I've been pastoring here for 43 years. All three of us together make up a 97-year-old man. There's stability here. That is good. We have weathered some storms. We have weathered some fire. We know what the deep water is like. And I don't know what the future holds for America or the future holds for Fundamental. I know what the end future holds, that we're going to be rescued, we're going to be raptured. But I don't know what's going to happen between now and then. But we have a rock, and we are told to abide in Christ. Abide. That means continue. That word means to rest and continue, both at the same time. 9 times in 10 verses, Jesus said, abide in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. The branches can do nothing without the vine. Real simply put, you aren't going to make it without Jesus. Amen. You aren't going to make it without Christ. You can invent a Christ in your mind, an idea of who Jesus is, apart from the Word of God, and it can be all warm and fuzzy and maple syrup, but you aren't going to live, you're going to go through any storms that way. The kind of people that are around you that are that way, they're soft, and they, you know what, it's just, as a child of God, we have Jesus. And let me just, I need you to know this. He is to be the center of all our life. Jesus, my life isn't about Jesus. Jesus isn't an accessory that I plug into my life. My life is Jesus. He's with me 24/7. He's with me all of the time. And I am here to live for the glory of God, not Tim Rader. I need to understand that I am not going to make it. You are not going to make it without Christ. John chapter 1, verse 4, in him was life. John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Christ is the vine. We are the branches. Let me read verse 3. Let me read 2 again. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. That's good. That makes us stronger, drives our roots deeper, literally, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Okay, I told you I don't really have an outline. Let me just share this out of this text. Number one, we won't make it without Christ. That's right. Amen. Number two, you won't make it without your Bible. Amen. I want to explain that in just a hot moment. You take away Jesus, and I have nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. Ask Lenny down at the hospital room right now. You get older, you start to get things in perspective. You're younger, you live for this world sometimes. It's the wise young man or young lady that has some discernment and doesn't live for the now. They live for eternity. And that person that lives that way, man, God is going to honor them and build them and make them strong, stronger and stronger as we go along. Jesus is to be the center of our life. Take away Jesus, you got nothing. But let's skip ahead and let's look at Psalm 124. Without Jesus, I'm a zero with a circle rubbed out. I've got nothing. I'm dirt that is moist. It says in Psalm 124, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side. Now Israel may say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. That's what happens when you find Jesus. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. How many times I've gotten myself in trouble? How many times in my 65 years I've painted myself into a corner and I call out to God and there he is. He's there for me every single time. Without Jesus, my life would have crashed on the rocks of life a long time ago. Amen. I need Christ in my life. Yeah. I need the Bible in my life. Go back to John in chapter 15 and verse 3. Fellowship is good, fellowship with the brethren, and that's important, and it's biblical. We used to call it body life, you know, where the hand takes care of the foot, and the foot, you know, takes care of the rest of the body. We all have a purpose, and fellowship, iron sharpeneth iron, that's important, but don't make that primary. That's a mistake. That leads to contemporary religion, apart from the Bible. Here's where it's at. Here's where your feet need to be planted. And then you find somebody else, their feet are planted. They're not messing around. They're stuck on the Word of God and they continue in the Word of God. They're abiding in Christ. Then you have that fellowship, and then it's iron that sharpeneth iron, not silly putty that sharpeneth iron. You know? So you can go to the warm fuzzy stuff and watch out for the people that avoid preaching. Because God ordained it. Titus chapter 1, chapter 2, God ordained preaching. It's through the foolishness of preaching that men are saved. You watch out for that person, red flag, that person that does their best to avoid the preaching. Get involved in everything else, but avoid the preaching. I love preaching. I love hearing a good preacher. I feel sorry for you people this morning. I love hearing the Word of God. Somebody that gives it to you and there's understanding. Absorb Scripture. Verse 3. Abide in me, continue in me, rest in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no man, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Oh, verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The secret is that we would absorb the word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I've challenged you this summer to read through your New Testament. I think my math is right. I was wrong last week. 86 days until Labor Day. I finished the book of Matthew this morning. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's a little bit slow part of the New Testament in reality. But I'm challenging you to get in the Word of God. God will give you wisdom this summer. God will give you discernment this summer. You won't be naive. You won't be a babe in the woods just sucking in everything that claims to be of God or claims to even lean in the right direction. Here's what it is. You need to be in the Bible. Absorb the Word of God. Go to James, if you would, real quickly. And I'm almost through. James chapter 1. Well, that ought to perk you up. Seems like I'm just getting started, but I'm not. James chapter 1. Might not seem like that to you. But it does to me. James and chapter 1 and verse 21. It's a source of wisdom. It's the secret to lasting power. Abiding in Christ. He says in John 15, it's more than words, fellas. It's obeying my word. It's being in the book. And it's my word that cleanses you. Watch out for, you got to minister to them, but don't let them impact you in a negative way, those that are all about social. Tell me your problems. Yeah. Watch out for those kind of people. Verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. There's a lot of shallowness out there. And receive with meekness, that's a humility, the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Make the Bible part of your lifeblood. Make it mentally part of your being, part of your body. Then be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. And he describes what it is to be deceived. So the whole point is, to be a mature Christian, is I need to absorb the Bible. That's why we need Bible preaching. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's why we need Bible, the center of every Sunday school class. Verse by verse, we're getting through it. In the auditorium class, we're hearing the word of God. It changes people. It gives you wisdom. It keeps you from evil. It's a light for your path. You're not out there listening to music. By the way, music on itself, by itself, is not worship. It always goes to the flesh. You can sing I Love You, Jesus, 35 times in a row, and the only way you can worship God is with that melody? I'm saying you're drinking from a bottle. You need to get in the meat of God's word. Music is good. Music's ordained of God. Good music's ordained of God. I love good music. I love close harmony. I love quartet music. I love music that praises and lifts up God. I'm all about that, but that's not really my worship, man. My worship is when I hear the word of God, and God the Holy Spirit is my teacher, and he brings me to where I need to be. And sometimes it hurts, and sometimes it cuts, but it's right there, and I'm growing, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I'm becoming more mature, and I'm not that little baby. I'm not walking around in diapers. I'm not sitting in a high chair anymore. I actually get the meat of God's word, meat and potatoes, and the milk of God's word all at the same time, and I'm stronger as a result of it. I'm strengthened. My faith is bigger. And you won't make it without Jesus. And you will not make it without your Bible. And by the way, the written word manifests the living word, the Son of God. You want to know about Jesus? Your relationship to him will be your relationship to your King James Bible, to the word of God. Man, it'll strengthen you. If your relationship to God, I know I'm preaching to some people here this morning, is just a melody, there'll be a time when that melody is not going to get it done. Sitting at your kitchen table isn't going to get it done. But the Word of God will. Man, I love Fundamental Baptist Church. We're far from perfect, but the Word of God is sounded forth from this pulpit in every Sunday school class, out at the camp, Maplewood Baptist Academy, our missionaries that we send out all around the world. Man, it's all about being Bible-centric and not people-centric. So important. You won't make it without Christ. You won't make it without your Bible. I am the vine. And Jesus said that. Ye are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.